Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Hei. We're going to begin on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara right after the Mishnah. And the Mishnah discussed the various people who are possible to say Eidus, to be Dayonim, and one of the people mentioned was Masach Bekuvya. Masach Bekuvya, we know, is a gambler. And asked the Gemara, my Kovid, why is a Masach Bekuvya disqualified? On Rabbi Becham Mishum Dav Asmachta. It's a situation in Asmachta. What does an asmachta mean? A person who gambles is not really giving up his money wholeheartedly. He's only giving up his money because he lost. If he had he known that he would have lost the gamble, he would have never entered the bet. And therefore, since it's considered a situation that he really wasn't giving away his money happily, wholeheartedly, that's why it's not considered a valid kinyan. And it turns out that if I'm gambling and I'm taking your money or I'm losing my money, we have a situation of gzeila because it's an asmachta. So Rav Shimon Shkop asks a very fundamental question. He says, we know throughout Shas the rule is dvarim shebelev einam dvarim, that the halacha only considers what it sees. I entered into a bet and I lost. So how does the halacha know that I'm really not happy about giving up my money? Maybe I'm okay with it. So he says, because the halacha also recognizes, and we discussed this in Masechta Bava Basra, the concept of an umdana. And everybody knows that people aren't happy about giving up their money if they don't get anything in return. Therefore, even though I'm not saying anything, I entered into a bet and I lost and I give up my money as I agreed upon, the halacha recognizes that this is certainly something I'm dissatisfied with. And that's why it's considered an asmachta, and an asmachta lekanya. Rav Sheshis Omer, kol ke agav nalav asachmahu. According to Rav Sheshis, this is not considered a situation of an asmachta. Machloikus Rashi in Tosis, why not? Rashi says it's not considered an asmachta because when somebody bets, he knows he may lose. That's how it is. Tosis says the reason it's not considered an asmachta because that's how it works. Sometimes I win and you lose, sometimes you win and I lose. That's part of playing a game. And therefore, it's not considered a situation of an asmachta, and the issue of asmachta lekanya, therefore, will not be relevant. This is a very fundamental question, because the question that comes up, is gambling considered gzeila, or not? It's actually machlokes to Rama on the Shulchan Aruch. Rama, based on Rav Shesh's opinion, says asmachta lekanya. Asmachta, it's not considered a situation of an asmachta, and therefore gambling, again, should be frowned upon. But as far as the question of gzeila, there is no issue of gzeila. Shulchan Aruch takes a stricter opinion towards gambling. And now the question comes up. We see that people play the lottery, people go to Chinese auctions, and the yeshivas and different institutions have these types of lotteries and different auctions. And if our Gemara is suggesting, certainly as the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that it's an asmachta, so, and it may not be acceptable. Why is everybody doing it? So as far, interestingly enough, as the Chinese auctions are concerned, the paskim say that what's a Chinese auction? A Chinese auction is that something for sale, and the way the person who's selling it, whether it's an institution or an individual, it will make a difference. It's really giving out to bidding. People are bidding for it, and this is a form of bidding, and then somebody wins the bid. So it's just a sale of a specific item, and therefore it's not considered gambling. But what about a lottery? Why is a mutter? So I saw a very interesting svara from Shimon Shkop. Now Shimon Shkop says as follows. When is it more likely to be in a smachta? And when is a situation less likely to be a smachta? He says, the less likely you are to win, the less of an smachta it is. Why? He says, a gevaldig svara. He says, what does an smachta say? A smachta says, if I would have known that I'm going to have to spend the money, I would have never spent the money. What are the classical examples in Shas of a smachta? There are two examples in Shas of an smachta. One is, it comes up fairly often. Let's say I'm building a house, and I accept upon myself a penalty clause that if I won't have the house ready by a certain date, I'll pay a penalty. If I would know that I wouldn't have it ready by that date, would have I ever entered into that clause? Of course not. So the only reason I accepted that condition is because I didn't assume that I would ever have to fulfill the condition. Another case, we learned the Masechta Bava Basra, Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses a situation where I owe you $1,000. I don't have all the money, I give you $500. And the Mishnah says, so now what do we do with the shtar? I don't get back the shtar because I still owe you $500. You can't keep the shtar because I already paid off $500. So the Mishnah discussed the situation where we leave the shtar by a third party, but I make a condition that if I don't pay you up the balance by a certain date, you could have back the shtar. Why did I say it? Because I was sure that I'm going to pay you up by that day. If I had any question if I'm going to pay you up by that day, I would have never have agreed to this condition. So all the examples I've given of a smachta are cases where I never assumed that I would have to fulfill the condition. By a lottery, it's just the opposite. When somebody goes and spends whatever it is, a dollar, I don't know what it is, to buy a lottery, does he really think that he has a chance to win? Nobody assumes that they're going to win the lottery. They figure it's a dollar, and it's not that much money, and there's a very unlikely but possible chance that I'll win, so it's not that bad, I'll put in the dollar. The less likely you are to win, and the less likely you assume that you're going to, that you want to get something for your money, the less of an asmach that is. Rav Shimon Shkopsfar. When it's for its stalker, Rav Moshe Sternbuch in the Tshuva Sanhagas adds another svar. He says, when somebody participates in a lottery or whatever game on behalf of its stalker, his intent is really to give money for its stalker. Just that stalker, there's a lot of competition for your stalker money. So how does this institution get you to give to that cause versus to another cause? They make it interesting for you. There's a Chinese auction, there's a lottery, so it makes it more interesting, and that's why you may be more convinced to give to this stalker versus to another stalker. But it's not that you're really trying to gamble, and that's why it's not considered a problem in a smachta. There's an interesting Taisus. Taisus is not here. Taisus is actually on the next plot. Taisus says, a chiddush, Taisus says that if we want to avoid the problem of an smachta by gambling, you should put the money on the table, that the money that you're gambling with should be put on the table. Again, I'm not saying that you should gamble. I'm just saying what the Paiskim say, what the Rishonim say. So the Paiskim discuss what is putting the money on the table accomplish. So some Mefarshim explain, it shows that you're serious, that you're ready to lose the money. If you took the money out of your pocket and you put it on the table, what you're actually saying is, I may make money and I may lose the money and I'm prepared for whatever happens. Others say, other Mefarshim explain what Taisus means, that by putting the money on the table, it's sort of an act of kinyan. And a kinyan is required. So, right. So now the question is, according to Rambam Bechama, we understand why Masach Bekuvya is possible to say Eidus. Because Masach Bekuvya is a gambler, and it's an Asmachta. But according to Rav Sheshis, that said it's not an issue of an Asmachta, so why is a gambler a possible for Dayan or Eid? And it says the Gemara, Lefishein Oiskim B'Yeshuva Shalaylam. Gambling is not the way people, they're not doing something, they're not gainfully employed. And here too, the Rishonim debate, what is the issue of Lefishein Oiskim B'Yeshuva Shalaylam? Some of Farshim explain that the issue is with the gambler. A person who spends his days gambling, is not a productive member of society. Therefore, he shouldn't be an aid or a dying. Others say that the issue with somebody who gambles is that he doesn't appreciate somebody else's money. Before you're a dying, before you're an aid, you have to recognize that you're dealing with someone else's money. And someone who's not Isaac be Yeshuva Shalaylam doesn't have that sensitivity. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, what's nafkamina? And as the Achroinim point out, the Gemara could have given two very obvious nafkaminas. One nafkamina the Gemara could have given is, what would be the halacha if you did gamble? According to Rambam Bechamer, you're a gazlan, and you have to return the money. According to Rav Sheshis, you're not a gazlan. You didn't do the right thing, but you're not a gazlan. You don't have to return the money. Another nafkamina would be, if you gamble, but you don't gamble for money. You just play cards all day. So if the concern is a smachta, gzela, there's no gzela, you didn't play for money. But if the concern is, l'fishein oiskin, b'yeshuva shalaylam, You're not oisik be yeshuva shalaylum if you spend your days playing cards. So ask the Gemara, my benayu, what's the Gemara's question? So the Mefarshim explained, they want to know as far as Hilchas Eidus is concerned. Answers the Gemara, ik benayu, dukam em nosach reite. You gamble, but you do other things. So if the concern is a smachto, that you're a gazlan even if you gamble for 5 minutes. If the concern is b'fisha and ois can be yeshuva shalaylum, you're gainfully employed, and therefore you don't have that concern. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we learned at the end of our Mishnah, Amr Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda commented, a Messiah, when is somebody who's a Messiah B'Kuvya considered apostle or aid? B'zman she'en lay umnas, elahu, when he has no other profession. Ever, yesh lay umnas shloy, but if he has another profession, harei k'sher, then he's still a kashrei. So it's obvious, tamid misnisen, that how do we understand our Mishnah? That the reason is, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda differentiates a person who has another job versus a person who doesn't have another job. Ask the Gemara Kashl Ram Bachama, who says that the issue of Mesachah B'Kuvi is that he's a gazlan, and therefore it shouldn't make a difference if he has another job or another job. V'chitem, and if you'll say, the Ram Bachama will learn Pshat in the Mishnah, that Pligi Rabbanan Alei Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda are debating, where according to Yehuda, the issue is Yeshuva Shalaylam. And therefore, according to Yehuda, if you have another job, you're not disqualified. Whereas according to Rabbanan, the issue is Gezela. And therefore, even if you have another job, you're still disqualified. The Hamar Yeshuva and Levi asked the Gemara. Yeshuva and Levi said, "Call Malkum Shamar Yehuda, wherever Yehuda says in a Mishnah, Amosai, Ubameh, where he ever uses the word Amosai Ubameh, it's not to be understood that he's arguing on the Tanakhama and Elul Farish Devar Chachamim. All he's doing is trying to explain the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't take such a broad approach. And he says, Amosai, if the word Amosai is used, it indeed means Lafarish, that the Rabbi Yehuda is explaining what the Tanakhama holds. Ubameh. But if the word Bameh is used, it's Lach-like, he's coming to disagree. So the Gemara's question is, but everybody is agreeable, the Kul Alma, where the word Amosai is used, it's Lefarishu. So we're explaining our Mishnah, that according to Rabbi Bachama, there's a machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, it's not true. Says the Gemara, Gavra, Gavra, Kramamas. What's your question? Masova, Rabbi Bachama is of the opinion, Pligi, that there's a machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, or Masova, whereas Rav Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan will hold it like Pligi. Ask the Gemara, like Pligi, can there be opinion that says that Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama are not arguing? For Tanya, there's another Braisa. The Braisa clearly says, Bein sheyesh loy umnas shloihu, Bein she'ein loy umnas elohu, whether the scambler has another job, or whether he doesn't have another job, Harezeh apostle. If we're saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are agreeing that if he has another job, he's not disqualified, how will they understand that braisa? Answers the Gemara, they're going to explain that braisa, Hahu Rabbi Yehuda Mishim Rav Tarfin, that braisa represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav Tarfin. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Oim Mishim Rav Tarfin, La Oilam Ein Echemem Nazar, La Fishinitin Nazar Is Allah Flo. Gemara that we learned many times, the Gemara speaks about the following situation. You and I are sitting together, and we see somebody approaching. And I say, I'm certain that that person's a Nazir. And you say, I'm certain that he's not a Nazir. So I say, I'm so certain that he's a Nazir, that if he's not a Nazir, I'll accept Naziris on me. And you say just the opposite. I'm so certain that he's not a Nazir, that if he's a Nazir, I'll be a Nazir. The halacha is neither of our Naziris, statements, declarations, is considered a valid declaration. Why? Because the halach is, the parsuk uses the words ish kiyafli, a naziris is only accepted when it's a clear declaration, and here it's not considered a clear, clear declaration. So therefore, the same thing regarding Mesach B'Kuvya. If somebody is gambling, he's not giving away his money wholeheartedly, as I said at the beginning of the shir, and therefore, it's not considered that he gave away his money properly, that should be considered fine. So obvious question, Taisus asks, what does Naziris have to do with gambling? The Gemara is putting together two very different subjects. So one teretz Taisa says that Naziris becomes a model for Kala Torah Kula. That for something to be considered valid, you have to be clear. And in gambling, you're obviously not clear that you're giving your money away with your whole heart. That's one pshat, Taisa says. Another pshat, Taisa says, is as follows. We learned together, Masechta Nazir. Masechta Nazir, the Gemara says that Yodis Naziris, that if you don't use a very clear wording, still you're a Nazir. So we see that the Torah is not that concerned that you should be 100% clear, yet have flaws required. So why? Because the Torah is teaching us that you always need to be clear, and gambling lacks in that clarity. The Mishnah said that a mouth of the ribbis is possible. Amar Rava, so certainly if somebody lends money, he's possible. Amar Rava, love of ribbis, possible. If you borrow money with ribbis, you're possible. Machlokes Rishonim, if you're possible with the Raisa or you're possible with Rabban. Some Rishonim suggest that the Gemara means that the Loivid is also participating in this Aveira. And since he's participating in this Aveira, he's possible with the Raisa. Others suggest that the Loivid, for two reasons, is not possible with the Raisa. Number one, he's not gaining. He's only losing. He's paying the interest. And number two, he doesn't think that he's really doing the Aveira. He thinks that the Malva is doing the Aveira. He's not happy about paying the interest. So that's why it's only possible with Rabbanim. Another machlokes Rishonim. What about the other people who participate in a loan that involves ribbis? You have the person who writes the shtar. You have the edim. What is going to be the halacha regarding those individuals? So Rishonim suggest it depends on the machlokes that we're going to learn between Abai and Rava. The machlokes and Abai and Rava, who is considered the Rosha that is possible to be an aid? One opinion is it has to be a Rosha the Chomis, where he has a monetary gain. Others say if he participated in Aveira, if he's a Rosha, he's possible. So if you hold that any Rosha is possible, so the Sofer and the Eidim are Rishon. They participated in this transaction and they're possible for Eidus. If, however, we learn he has to be a Rosha the Chomis, they're not Rosha the Chomis. They didn't get any gain. They're not getting the interest and they wouldn't be possible. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that the Loiva is considered a possible Eidus if he participated in this loan that had ribbis, vonan tanan milva beribbis. So it said malva beribbis. The Mishnah clearly only speaks about the malva. Answers the Gemara, malva habo beribbis. The Mishnah doesn't mean the malva. It means a transaction that involved ribbis. Says the Gemara an incident. Bar ben Tisus. There was an individual whose name was Bar ben Nisus. A seder bei trei sahadi. And there were two edim that came to say edis regarding him. Charamar. One said, Kamei didi oizu berivisa. I saw him involved in a loan that had interest with it. V'charama lididi oizu beribis. I was the one that borrowed money from him with an obligation to pay interest. Says the Gemara, Pasli Ravel Barbanisus. So Rav says, Barbanisus cannot be a dayan or an aid. He lends money on interest. Ask the Gemara, V'Rav who dama lava beribis posoleidis. According to Rav, somebody who borrows the money is also posoleidus. Vavile Rosha, Vatara Matashis Rosha. One of the Adam here said that he was the one that borrowed the money. So if he's the one that borrowed the money, he's posel. So why is the Gemara saying that he's kosher? Answers the Gemara, Rav Latamei. Rav is following his opinion. We learned it actually at the beginning of Masecht on Davtes. Dom Rava, Adam Karvetzel Atzmai, Vain Adam Mason Matzmai Rosha. So when Rishonim explained the Gemara, we have a Palgin in the Bura. We believe this person that Barbanisus lent him money on ribbis, but we don't believe him that he borrowed money on ribbis, because that would mean that he's saying that he's a Rosha, and we don't believe a person to say that he's a Rosha. Continues the Gemara. Hu tafka b'shkach de nafka treis b'tosa yode. There was a butcher who was selling trei for meat. Pasle Rav Nachman disqualified him for avrei, that he could no longer be a kosher butcher. Also, so he wanted to do tshuva. Rabbi Mazia Vatufra. He let his hair grow, his fingernails grow, and like that, he did tshuva. He's about tshuva, and he should be accepted. And now, Sav Rav Nachman Lachshurei. So Rav Nachman wanted to say that he should now be a kosher dayan or aid. Amale Rava. So Rava said, Dilmei Rumei Kamar. Maybe this is just a charade. He's not really doing tshuva. El Maita Kante. What is the way we know that he meant to do tshuva? Rav Idibar Oven. Domer Rav Idibar Oven. Hachoshel or treifa. So somebody is accused that he sold treifa meat. Ain't like the kana. There is no tshuva for this individual. At sheyelch lemakim she'em makira. Until he goes to a place where nobody recognizes him. He finds an expensive item and he gives it away. So he sold that. He overcame his desire for money. That he's ready to lose money and say that this meat is treif and it can't be eaten by kosher consumers. Many mefarshim say that this, the Gemara that takes this very strict attitude towards this person who sold treif till we're ready to accept them as Baal Tshuva is specifically regarding non-kosher food. Because this person caused that Jews should eat macholos asuris, which is a very serious aveira, and that's why we're stricter in this situation than we are in other situations. Interesting vart from Reb Tzadik. Reb Tzadik says a very interesting vart. He says, Al-Gamar says, that this person who sold non-kosher meat is not to be considered about tshuva until he had the opportunity to show that he overcame his desire for money. And what would happen if he never had such an opportunity? You know, finding money is not something that everybody finds every day on the street. So what happened? How could that person be a Baal Tshuva? How could he prove he's a Baal Tshuva if he never had the opportunity to show it? Says Rav Tzadik. He says, a person who's really a Baal Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him the opportunity to show he's a Baal Tshuva. So if this person was selling the non-kosher meat and really did Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create a situation that he's going to find a lot of money, or he's going to get a non-piece of meat and show that he's really serious now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives about tshuva the opportunity to show that he did tshuva. Rav Tzadik Zavart. Another interesting shayla that I saw. Interesting shayla. There's somebody walking by, gets up early in the morning, and he walks by a kosher butcher shop. And he sees that this kosher butcher shop is taking in non-kosher meat. Terrible. But now he has a question. He has reason to be concerned that maybe it's not only this kosher butcher shop that's doing this. There may be other kosher butcher shops that are buying from this non-kosher purveyor. But he doesn't have his car with him. He's going to shul to learn. So now he has a question. Should he let everyone know that this supposedly kosher butcher shop is buying non-kosher meat? And obviously you can't buy from there, and if you bought from there, you have real issues. Or should he maybe wait, and the next day come there with his car, and follow the truck of the non-kosher meat, and see if he's delivering it to any other supposed kosher butchers, to see who else may be involved in this. Because if he notifies everybody that this store is buying the non-kosher meat, then he might have lost his opportunity to identify who else may be is involved in this situation. This question was asked to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef paskened that you have to immediately notify everybody what's going on. Because as we're speaking, there are people that are maybe eating kosher, non-kosher meat. There are people that their pots and pans and dishes at home are non-kosher. And now you know about it. You have an obligation to immediately notify everybody what you know. If you would have waited, maybe other people could have been saved. The halacha is when you find something, you have to deal with it. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah spoke about mafricha yoinim. The mafricha yoinim are possible to be edim and dayonim. Ask the Gemara, my mafricha yoinim, exactly what are mafricha yoinim? Hochet tergma. So here it was explained. Itagmi yoinich liyon. They did races with pigeons. So again, a gambling. Rav Chamba oishyama oru. Aura means as follows. People wanted to attract birds to come to their houses. How did they attract birds to come to their houses? What they used to do was, they used to have a bird tied to their roof, so he couldn't go anywhere or she couldn't go anywhere, and the bird on my roof would attract other people's birds. So even though it's not technically gzela, but it's certainly not the right thing. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, mandam itag mi yoinich liyoin, the coin to mandam that says that it means gambling on a pigeon race, my tam loyama ora amlach, he responds, Or is a situation where it's not a real gzeila. It's only daka shalom. It's not something that to be done, but nobody, in the way the Mefarshim explained, you can't really be a full-fledged owner of a pigeon. So if I attract your pigeons, I really didn't do gzeila. Says the Gemara, why doesn't he say the reason is because of gambling? Because gambling is already mentioned in the Mishnah. Hainu Masach Bekuvya. Masach Bekuvya was already mentioned in the Mishnah, and there's no reason to mention it again. Ask the Gemara, good Kasha, why do we have to have two examples of gambling in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara of Idach. Tana Toilab Das Atzmai, Vatana Toilab Das Yoina. One is a case where I'm in control, in the case of gambling, and the other is a situation where I'm not in control, it's my birds. And we have to mention both types of situations. And as Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes the Ran, Rabbi Kiva Eger is here on the Amid, this is only according to the Man D'Amar that says that the concern of gambling is a smachta, gzeila. So now we have to say the two forms of gzeila, where I'm in control, where it's my birds. But if the concern is yeshuva shalaylam, so what's the person who's a gambler is ein oisik yeshuva shalaylam, that doesn't make a difference if you're a gambler on cards or you're a gambler on birds. Yeah, and that oisik yeshuva shalaylam. And in fact, Rabbi Kiva Eger tries to say why, according to that opinion, does the Mishnah have to give two examples of gambling. But Al Gemara is according to the Man D'Amar, which is a chiddush, because the halacha is that the problem with a gambler is ein oisik yeshuva shalaylam. Al Gemara is going to the opinion of Rabbi Bachama that the problem of gambling is gzeila, and we need to mention two types of gambling. Ditana toil b'das atzmai. Had our Mishnah mentioned only toil b'das atzmai, I would suggest hosam loy gomer makni. There we could say the person wasn't prepared to lose. Dama kim lebenafshoy the yadana tfei. I'm a great gambler and I'll never lose. Avol toil b'das yaina. When it has to do with my birds, it's not totally my control. I'm prepared to lose, and that's why it's not an asmachta. How did they get the birds to win? So they used to clap. And if you knew how to clap, you could get your birds to fly faster. I could get my birds to travel faster, and that's why I will certainly will win. I have a toil b'das atzmai. But in a case of playing cards, where it's pure luck, aimaloi, it's certainly not a case of a smachta. That's why tzricha, the Mishnah, to give two examples of gambling. Eisvei, asked the Gemara, the Braisa says, hamsachik b'kilvya. Elohim, hamsach m'pispasim. People who play cards. It's like m'pispasim b'vad amru. Not only with cards, I will feel klipe agoizim v'klipe remoinim. Even if they play with shells of nuts and pomegranates, and as the Rishonim explained, the chiddush is that even though nobody who plays cards plays with these kind of items on a full-time basis, it's still considered gambling. When is it considered that they did tshuva? Mishishabrus b'tseim, they break their cards. Yachseben chazor gemura, and they do a full tshuva. That they wouldn't play cards even if they, not for making money. The Rishonim debate, the Gemara seems to be missing the most important element. I have to get back the money. So some Rishonim say, of course, giving back the money goes without saying. Others say that no, since perhaps we hold it's not an asmachta, so you don't have to give back the money. Inami, continues the Gemara, Nava Baribis, I'm sorry. Echra Malva Vechva Eloiva, as we learned earlier, both the borrower and the lender are considered Malva Baribis. The Emesai Chaz Rosson, Mishiyikruash Dereyem, from when they rip up the documents, the Yachseben Chazor Gemura, Afilala Nochrele Maisi, that they wouldn't even lend money to a guy. So, a number of points. Number one, ripping up the shtar, as the Rishonim point out, represents a real tshuva. Because in the shtar, in the loan document, there are two parts. There's the principal and the interest. Once I rip up the loan document, I don't have a document even for the principal. There's nothing wrong with the principal. But tshuva requires an extra measure, going a step more than you have to, and you're ready to give up more than you have to, then not only do you rip up the interest part, but you rip up the entire document, and now you have no shtar. Furthermore, what does the Gemara mean, lenach le'yasvi? Because the halacha is that you're allowed to lend money to a guy on interest. The Gemara is teaching us that here, if you really want to show that you mean the tshuva, you won't lend money even to a guy on interest. And again, here I saw a beautiful pshat again from Reb Tzadik explaining pshat in the Gemara. He says as follows. We know, it's based on a famous Rambam. The Rambam says the way a person is supposed to go is the shvil azov, in the middle, not too much to the right, not too much to the left. But if you want to, if a tree is bending too much to one side, how do you straighten it out? You have to bend it all the way to the other side. Here too, if this person had this tendency to lend money on interest, which we know is a very serious avera, he has to go all the way to the other direction, then not only will he not lend money to a Jew on ribbis, but even to a goy, which halachically is permissible, he needs to completely break this habit. How does he break this habit? By refraining from any interest-bearing transaction. What about mefricha yoinim? Eilu shemamrim esa yoinim. They get the yoinim to fly. V'loi yoinim bavad, amru, ela filu behema chayva oif. Veima saich hazarosin. When is it considered that they did tshuva? V'shibiris pigmeim, v'yachsben chazara gemara. They do a full tshuva, v'afil b'mid manam ilay avdi. Nowhere will they do this act. Saich hashvius, and we're going to discuss this a lot more tomorrow, Saich hashvius, elu shenoyse v'noyse v'peir hashvius. That they do business with shmita produce, which is obviously also. Veima saich hazarosin, when is it considered that they did tshuva, v'shidgiyah shvius acheris, when the next shmita comes, v'yivadlu, and they don't do anything wrong. V'aram nechemya, lo'chazaros t'varam b'vad amru, it's not enough they should just say what they mean, el'chazaros mamun keitza, oini oimer, ani ploini b'ploini, k'nasti m'sayim zuz, I earn 200 zuz, v'peri shvius, v'arei nesunim b'matana l'niyim. The Rambam, interesting, doesn't say just Oimer. The Rambam, when he quotes the Salach, he says, Kaisiv. He has to write it. And the Mefarshei HaRambam explained what the Rambam means to say is that how do you show that you mean something? That you don't just say it, you write it. Says the Gemara. Ketanimius, but when we spoke about Mefricha Yoinim, we spoke about Behema. Says the Gemara. Bishlam Lamanda Omer, according to the Manda Omer, that explained Mefricha Yoinim, meaning Itagmech Yoinim L'Yon. That's talking about a race. Hanan Meshkachs L'Behema. So we can have the same situation with an animal as with a bird. However, ask the Gemara, El Mandama Oro, according to the Mandama, that Bafricha Yoina means that I try to attract your birds. So that's by bird, as I explained earlier, possible. Behema, ask the Gemara, Bas Hochihi, is it possible by an animal? Answers the Gemara, in. It's possible by a Shor Habar. Command Omer, Shor Habar, Nim Behemahu. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says, Shor Habar Min Behemahu, Rabbi Yosef Min Chaya. What's the nafkamina if it's a Min Behemahu Min Chaya? We know that the Chalev of a Chaya is Osir, the Chalev of Behemah, no, just the opposite. The Chalev of Behemah is Osir, the Chalev of a Chaya is Mutter. Another nafkamina is that the Dam of a Chaya is required to have Kisuya Dam. The Dam of Behemah doesn't require Kisuya Dam. So it's important to know if it's a behema chaya. Tana continues the brisa. Hasif aleim, they added other individuals. Hasif aleim hagazlonim v'chasonim that are possible to be edim or dayonim. Ask the Gemara. Gazlin the brisa. If you're a gazlin, that's the classical case. What do I need the brisa to add it? Answers the Gemara. Anitzacha elamitzias cherish. Shoit of a cotton. That if a cheresh shoit of a cotton found something, since they're incapable of making a kinyan, so it's not theirs. Still, the Bryce is teaching us that if a cheresh shoit of a cotton found something, and I take it away from him, I'm considered a gazlan. And the Gemara explains itself. Mikaris sova, mitzias cheresh shoit of a cotton, lo shchicha. How common is it that a cheresh shoit of a cotton will find something? Inami, taking it away is not, as I explained a moment ago, technically gezeila, and therefore it's not also kim dechazu. But once they saw soif soif manhu dekashakli, that I'm taking away money that's not mine, paslan rabbanan. The rabbanan disqualified such an individual also. Hachamsonim. What is a chamson? Chamson means that a person takes away something from somebody else, but he pays for it. I forced you to sell it. Mikarasova, at the beginning they held the meikayov. I'm paying for it. And therefore, kroy ba'almahu. It's considered something that's not gezeila. Kim dechazut kachatvi. Once they saw that they're taking it away on a regular basis, goes barabon. The way the Rishonim explained this is as follows. At the beginning, when somebody would force somebody else to sell him something, and he was ready to pay, not only was he ready to pay, but he didn't really leave until he badgered the seller, that the seller should reluctantly agree. Ultimately, what they did was, they didn't even talk to him. They would just drop the money and take it. And that's why it's not considered, that's why they decided that that should be considered included in the Isser. Another pshat is that at the beginning this didn't happen that often. And since it didn't happen that often, that's why it's not considered, they didn't disqualify the person. Afterwards it became more common that people acted this way, and that's why they became disqualified. The Mefarshim also asked that every chamson should be considered a rosha, because he's over the lav of lo sachmad. What does lo sachmad mean? That you have something, and I really want it. And that's why I'm ready to force you to take my money, because I'm so anxious to get it. So why is he not considered an arusha? Because he's over the lav of lo sachmad. So Mefarshim say that in any situation where I ultimately pay, I'm not over the lav of lo sachmad. And as I explained, a chamson does pay for what he takes. That's why it's not lo sachmad. Tana continues the braisa. Royim means people who are shepherds of other people's money, other people's animals. And the Gemara explains, Mikarasava kroy ba'almahu, that it's not common that they take the animals into other people's fields. Kiv the chodukum chavni, the shodul chatchila, the chatchila they take their animals into other people's fields, gosbarabon. Hagaboy ba'muxim. The Gabar Mamuksan are people that collect taxes. Says the Gemara, Mikarasover, at the beginning they assumed, Mad Kotzlu Kashakli. They only take what is the required amount. Kivin the Kotzlu Kashakli Seira Peslinu. Which means two pshat I saw in the Rishonim. One pshat I saw in the Rishonim means, is that the tax collectors in those days had a lot of latitude. And they had the power of collecting taxes, and they had to give the government a certain amount, and they could keep the rest for themselves. So they took a large profit above what they had to give the government for themselves. It's one pshat. Another pshat is, again, there wasn't a specific amount that every person had to pay. It was up to the assessor, tax collector, to assess. And they were dishonest in their assessment that they would take a bribe from the wealthy people to assess them to pay less than they really ought to. And they would not, and since the poor people couldn't do that, they would assess the poor people to pay more than they really ought to. That's why they considered possible. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, Roy Sh'amru, the Roy that we just discussed, is Echad Roy Behemadaka, Echad Roy Behemagasa. Ask the Gemara, Mi Amar Rava Hochi, did Rava paskin that way? Amar Rava, Roy Behemadaka Betzisrael Psulin, in Etzisrael, a Behemadaka may not be raised, Bechutz Loritz Ksherim. Roy behemagasa afil bet Yisrael ksherim. So how are we saying that Rava said that they're all apostle? Answers the Gemara. Ahu b'megadla mitmar. It's not talking about a roya. That's talking about somebody who raises. Hachanam mstabra. And says the Gemara, that's what makes sense. Midik Tani, our Mishnah said that if somebody said, namonim alai shloishi roi boker, he's allowed to. My lab isn't our Mishnah referring to situational edus. So we see that just because you're Roy Bakr, you're not automatically disqualified. So it's more loy. Our Mishnah speaking about Ladina, being a Dayan. Deikad Nami, and I'll bring you raya, says the Gemara, that our Mishnah is speaking about dayonis, not edis. The tani shloish roi baka. Our Mishnah says three. Vila edis, if we're speaking about edis, shloish lamali. Ask the Gemara, velamai. So now we're saying that it means ladina. My ear is shloish roi baka. Why do we single out shloish roi baka? Kobe tlosla Gemara dina nami. It's to speak about any three amaratsim. Says the Gemara, we're singling them out because how feel hani the lashchich biyishuv, because they usually are not in the town, they're out in the field with the animals, to teach us even such people, if they were accepted according to Rabbanan, you can't reverse yourself.